Our efforts probably can be criticized, but I guess, I mean, at this hour of need, it has to be empathized and sympathized than criticized. I can understand their frustration, but frustration alone is not going to do any good. I mean, we all have to come together, join hands, and put the best efforts that we can do on the ground.
That's Nepal's Information Minister, Manendra Rijal, insisting his country will need international support to rebuild after last month's earthquake. Now, donations have been flowing in from all over the world. The ABC's Oxfam Nepal earthquake appeal, for example, and we participated in that at the end of last week very strongly, has raised 4.77 million since last Tuesday. It's not an amount of money to scoff out. That is Australians donating because they're concerned about what they're watching on their screens. But is it enough? And how can we be sure that we're giving it to the right charities? And could we actually be doing more if we did it a bit differently? Brendan Rigby is the Managing Director and Co-Founder of YDEV, an organisation committed to getting development right, and he joins me in the studio. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks for having me, Patricia.
Every time we're faced with a significant humanitarian disaster and we need to have a response, the number of organisations vying for funds can be kind of overwhelming. Are some doing a better job than others? People choosing to donate, how do they make those decisions ethically and getting the best value for money?
It's a great question and one that we need to ask whenever a disaster strikes. And I recall the comments made by a policy expert in the Prime Minister of Vanuatu's cabinet office. And he made a very poignant statement when he said that a lot of NGOs after Cyclone Pam were just there for visibility. All they wanted to do was come in, have their programs, and get a sign in the ground. And that's something that we really have to be conscious of as donors. We mustn't forget that in some cases we have Australian organisations, they're double dipping. And what I mean by that is they're receiving Australian aid from DFAT, from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, which is the taxpayers' money. And then you have those same taxpayers donating on top of that. And so I think we really need to raise the level of, you can call it consumer awareness amongst the Australian public about which organisations to give to, because some do it better than others, but it's often difficult to get beyond the advertising, beyond the marketing, and really find out which organisation is more effective when disaster strikes.
And do you think that concerns about where the money lands make some people apprehensive to donate because they hear reports that money is perhaps goes into, and this is a big thing you hear anecdotally at least, that it gets sucked up in the bureaucracy of some of these organisations, and they feel reluctant because they think if I donate $200, if 150 of it goes to bureaucracy, I'm not interested.
I think that's a fair concern, but I don't think we should get too caught up in the overhead, because that's what people are really concerned about. They're concerned about whether or not their money is going directly to programs and participants and beneficiaries, or is it going to overheads? But I think we need to mind the overhead, because organisations that are effective need to pay administrative costs, they need to pay accounting costs, financial costs, logistical stuff. They need to pay for good staff. So I don't think we should get...
This work doesn't happen for free.
Exactly. I don't think we should get too caught up in the overhead. And if you want to look at where your money goes, good transparent organisations will report on that. You can just download, for example, their annual report from their website, and you should be able to get basic information like that. And if you really want to go deeper than that, then just contact an organisation. Get on social media, get on Twitter, Facebook, and hit them up publicly and try and hold them to account publicly. I think there are avenues that the public can take.
On RN Drive, my guest is Brendan Rigby, Managing Director and Co-Founder of YDEV. Your organisation looks at this very question, where money goes and how it works. What about donating directly to communities, peer-to-peer micro-lending, for example?
Yeah, we've seen a really big growth in peer-to-peer or giving directly. And there are studies that are showing, particularly in development contexts, and here we have to draw kind of a demarcation between humanitarian and development context. And in development context, giving cash directly to families and to communities and letting them decide what they want to do with it is quite effective. But in humanitarian context, it's a lot more difficult to give cash and get cash directly to families and communities because everything is disrupted. You know, in the first 24, 72 hours of a humanitarian emergency, are often the most critical. And for your average donor, it's quite difficult then to get cash to communities. But those organizations who are already on the ground, who already have an office in those countries, who are already able to mobilize their teams and their equipment and their resources, are best placed to receive your funds.
I'm interested in material donations. I know some of the schools all around me at the moment and all the kids in my life participating in a Nepal appeal that involves collecting blankets and all that sort of material stuff that you need for life, really fundamental stuff, to send to Nepal. Is that a good idea?
No.
But they're doing it. A lot of schools are doing it.
And I really urge them to stop. There's many different ways that those school children and their parents and the teachers can help. But donating stuff is not. And in the industry, we do have a term for it. We call it SWEDO, stuff we don't want, because that's what it often is. And it really burdens organizations, because organizations will accept your stuff. Technically, they'll have to write it off as a gift in kind, and then they'll have to send it. But Kathmandu International Airport can only take 6 aircraft at a time. And we're getting reports that humanitarian, official humanitarian aid and resources that are needed for usually life-saving and emergency programs is already being held up in Kathmandu Airport. So if you're sending over blankets and teddy bears and yoga mats and whatever you don't want, you're doing a bit of spring cleaning, then you're just going to make things worse. You've got to create a much bigger backlog than there already is. So I urge you, please.
All the kids in my suburb, I hope they're not listening, or maybe they should be listening because there's a lot of blanket collection as you and I are talking tonight. Deciding who to donate to takes research. What should we be looking for if we want to help the response to a disaster like Nepal? How do we do the research?
The first thing I would look at is, do they already have a presence in that country? So if you're looking at Oxfam, World Vision, Plan, do they have a country office in Nepal? That's the very first thing, because if they don't, then they're just charging in there without already having staff on the ground, without having contextual knowledge.
And there are some that don't.
And there are some that don't.
Right.
And so you just have to, and any simple web search will enable you to find that out. Second, look to see if there are credible and reputable Nepalese organizations that you can donate to. These are a little bit harder to find, and you will have to spend a bit more time doing your web research, but there are. And they do exist, and they're much better placed than even your Oxfams and your World Visions are, because they have Nepalese staff, they have Nepalese programs, they've been working with the communities, they have good relationships, they're able to reach those most in need. Because most, 80% of Nepali people live in rural areas, they live outside of Kathmandu, and they're the ones that are hardest to reach, and they're the ones who are probably most affected by the earthquake. And they're the ones that local Nepalese NGOs are going to be able to reach, not World Vision, not Oxfam.
It's really interesting. Well, the ABC did participate in the ABC Oxfam Nepal earthquake appeal, and nearly $5 million was raised, and I'm quite sure a lot of it will help people. Brendan Rigby, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
And that's Brendan Rigby. He's the Managing Director and co-founder of YDEV.